10:38-42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made.
She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me."
"Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
John 11:17-27. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you."
Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again."
Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day."
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dead, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?"
She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world."
This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, as your word is preached and heard, help us to live by it. Help us to steep in the word. Help us to live this out, even if it means not living so hard. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to tell you that I use the word hate way too much, and I usually don't mean it. It's such a big word, such a strong word, such a hard word, hate. I don't often feel hate. I just don't. I use it rather than use the word dissatisfied or disenchanted or just not happy with. I hate Brussels sprouts. That's a lot of emotion to be carried out onto a vegetable. But I say it. Or I hate the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. I don't hate. No. I don't hate them. I don't. In the end, it's a game. Lots of money and everything, but it's a game. I don't want to see him win, but I don't hate him. Now that I've said that, I need to tell you that I really do hate it. I really do hate it when I hear people in our church or our church described as Marthas. Oh, I'm just a Martha. It always comes with just. Oh, I'm just a Martha. We're a busy church. We're just a bunch of Marthas. This is the Martha Presbyterian Church. We're a busy place. We keep busy, don't we? And I really hate that. And I better explain myself pretty quickly to all of y'all who have identified and been part of Martha and said, "I'm a Martha." I better talk fast. To describe ourselves as simply Marthas, as just Martha, sells ourselves way short as individuals and as a church. I think, too, to describe ourselves as Martha slanders a person who made maybe the greatest faith statement in the history of the world. And if we say we're Marthas, that comes with, as opposed to Mary, that sells ourselves short again. And it sets up a rivalry between two sisters that's not there in the Bible. Most of us have described ourselves as Martha. I know I have. I'm Martha. And I hate myself for doing that. We say it because we like being busy, or because we feel we don't know how to be spiritual enough. I don't know the Bible well enough, so I need I can't help the church unless I'm doing the dishes or moving chairs or raising money or doing some kind of outreach. Unless I'm doing something, I can't serve the Lord because I'm not a Mary. I can't sit at the Lord's feet, and if I do, I feel guilty. I'm not doing enough. I have to keep moving forward. I have to keep working. You know, every organization, every workplace, every group, every church needs Martha, somebody who's going to get things done. And it goes unsaid then that we don't feel that we're worthy enough to identify with Mary. We don't consider ourselves worthy enough to sit at the Lord's feet. We don't consider ourselves worthy enough just to sit in the Lord. As long as I'm doing, I'm serving the Lord. And this comes from Luke's very quick and very skewed view of the sisters. One of the reasons I hate, and that's the last time I'm using this word, this passage, the way this passage tells of the supper scene, is because of the way it's usually preached. Because it sells our Lord short. In the context, it doesn't say who the Lord is or what the Lord is actually saying, that we need to slow down and be disciples in Jesus. Okay, Jesus and the boys come to the house for supper. And it's Martha's house. The scriptures are very clear. This is Martha's house. And she's got a lot to do. You've heard sermons on this ad nauseum. The water for the washing of the feet, a different basin for washing the hands. She has to get all the ritual, yada, 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 yada. She's got a lot to do. And the Gospels are very clear that she's the hostess. This is her home. Both Luke and John tell us this is her house. She has to get supper on. Now, a lot of us grew up, when Dad comes home, supper gets on the table right now. Martha's busy making sure that happens. Mary sees that it's Jesus, and she sits down with him. Now, let's not slander either sister here. Let's not. Martha had to get things done. If she didn't do it, we don't have supper. Guests are not properly greeted with the right hospitality, and that's hugely important for those of us who are of Middle Eastern heritage. And it's most important to you. Hospitality is everything, isn't it? So, we do what we need to do. Give Martha credit. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing. Don't yell at her for doing it. Don't look down on her for doing it. At the same time, those of you who are self-described Marthas, don't yell at Mary. Don't get mad at Mary. She's doing what she needs to do. Now hear me on that. She's also doing what she needs to do. Sit at the Lord's feet and listen. Listen to who the Lord is. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Martha does exactly, and I do mean exactly, what I would do. Mary, come on. Let's get some help here. Mary, supper's not going to get ready by itself. Let's get moving. Mary, come on. I do it all the time. Hey, Chuck, is there something I need you to help me with? Chuck. In the end, you go to a higher authority. Grandma, would you tell Chuck? And that's what Martha is doing. It's what Martha is doing here. Lord, Rabbi, teacher, tell Mary to get off her duff and let's get to work. And I love, that's a word we don't use enough. I love Jesus' reaction. Martha, Martha, dear, dear Martha, I love you, Martha. But slow down. Slow down a minute. Come, sit down. Supper's going to be a little late tonight, and that's okay. We don't have to eat at 6. If we eat at 8, supper's just going to be just as delicious, and our fellowship's just going to be as fun. Slow down. Come here and sit down. Sit with Mary right now. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing. It's what I've called her to do in this moment. And I'm calling you to take a moment, maybe a little more than a moment, to relax. Mary's doing her thing, and she's going to keep doing her thing, but I need you to do something different just right now. Sit down, relax, and listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Now, I have proof, biblical proof, that Mary did, and Mary, that Martha did exactly that. Martha sat down and listened, and I have biblical proof of it. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And the girls read it this morning, not in Luke, but in chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. Let's jump to John 11. Those who Jesus loved, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, are in dire straits. The one who Jesus loves, Lazarus, is dying. And the girls, the sisters, Martha and Mary, send a messenger, a runner to Jesus. Lord, the one whom you love is dying. Come quickly. This is Jesus they're talking to. The one who made the deaf hear and the blind see. The one who raised up the boy from death on his way to his own funeral. This is Jesus who cured the leper, who cured the epileptic. This is Jesus who cured all these strangers. How can we not have a miracle? Well, he cures the one whom he loves. And the miracle does not happen. Jesus does not respond to his friend's summons. Lazarus is dead. He's really dead. He's been dead 3 days in the tomb. It isn't that he went into a coma. It isn't that he had shallow breathing and his slow heart rate. He's dead. And the sisters are in terrible, hard, awful mourning. The one whom they loved, the one whom they trusted, could not save their brother. Think about how hard that is. Going through this terrible time, I've depended on and trusted Jesus so much, and he has let them down. Too late, he finally shows up. And when he does, Martha goes running out to meet him. Martha is still Martha. She slowed down and listened, but she's still Martha. She can't just sit at home. Can't just sit. In this terrible morning, she gets out to run to Jesus. And in her very first words, the disappointment and hurt, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I can just cry with her. We look for a miracle in the Lord. And my brother died. And here's the proof that she slowed down and listened before at supper, when he comes back to the region of Bethany and Jerusalem. Jesus says, your brother's going to be okay. And she says to him, first great faith statement, Lord, I know that he will rise again on the last day because he believed in you. What a great faith statement. I know that Lazarus will be there on the last day, but I'm still hurting. This is still very, very hard. I'm still mourning. This is the hardest thing I've ever gone through. If you'd have been here. And Jesus interrupts, those who believe in me, though they die, will live. Do you believe this, Martha? This doesn't take a 20-minute sermon by Jesus, because Martha's already heard this. She already knows. She's listened and heard. And now she can put into words the plan God has for her, that her Lord has for her brother and her sister and her. Yes, Lord, I know that you are the Messiah, the one who is to come. You are Son of God. Maybe the greatest faith statement ever because of the timing. This is before her brother is raised from the dead. This is before Jesus' death and resurrection. Martha makes this great faith statement, this incredible faith statement, because she stopped making supper one day and sat down and listened. And now she has slowed herself to minister in his name. She's really heard, and now she can go and minister in his name. She runs back to home, and there's Mary. Martha still can't stand still, even in Jesus' presence. She runs back, and there's Mary surrounded by others, quiet and weeping. Now, I'm sure even though she's surrounded, Mary still feels alone. How often we feel alone when we're surrounded. That's another rabbit to chase for another day. Mary's home, and Martha says, come, the Lord is calling for you. And Martha just doesn't sit there as Luke might have us think she might. She gets up and runs to the Lord. And once more, it's heartbreaking. Her first words are the very same as her sister, as her sister's. Lord, I have followed you. I've listened to you. I know who you are. I know to expect miracles. But it didn't happen. My brother's dead, Lord. My brother's dead. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. What's Jesus' reaction? You know it. Shortest verse in the Bible. He wept. Jesus enters into our pain. Jesus is with us when we're hurting. Jesus feels the same we feel when we are hurting. Jesus is with us when our expectations of him or of life or of this world or of our church don't live up to what they think we should, what we think they should. Jesus hurts with us. Jesus loves us. Jesus doesn't say anything to Mary right then. He just cries with her. Just cries with her. And we all think we know the end of the story. Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, and Martha's there, and Martha's still being practical. Jesus says, roll away the stone. No, Lord, Martha says, no, Lord. He's been in there 3 days. It's going to stink. Roll away the stone. Jesus prays to the Father and calls, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walks out, and we think that's the end of the sister's story. It's so easy just then to move on. The dead have been raised. It's overpowering, unexpected. This is a new thing. But the story doesn't end there. Let's go to chapter 12 of John. Now is the time to prepare. The time is near for Passover. Jesus is again in Bethany near Jerusalem, and he's invited to go to Martha's house for supper. And what's Martha's job? She's in charge of hospitality. She's in charge of dinner. Got to get the bowl for the feet. Got to get the bowl for the hands. Got to get the you know, got to get supper on. John tells us Martha served. That's what John tells us. Martha served. Lazarus is at table. He's looking a little worse for wear for being in the tomb for 3 days, but he's there. And Mary, who has been listening to the Lord, who knows her Lord, does just as her sister Martha does. She jumps into action. Mary, who's been slandered as a loafer, an idler, someone who just sits around and listens, Mary literally leaps into action. She runs over to the Lord and cracks an alabaster jar full of perfume over Jesus and wipes this perfume with her hair. And the room, the world is filled with the sweetness of Jesus Christ. She does him the most important ministry of preparing him for his tomb and resurrection. After listening, Mary leaps into action, and Jesus says, what she's done will be remembered forever, and it has been. Martha also stopped and listened. But right now, her calling is to do her thing in the kitchen. The two sisters are partners in prayer. Partners in listening, partners in slowing down, and partners in the doing of ministry. Now, I know that according to my timer, I'm almost at 24 minutes, and there's a ball game today. But we need to apply the lessons of Mary and Martha to our lives, to our church life. We are doers. We are the doing church. Remember, we are the Martha Presbyterian Church. We are ministering. We are doing great things. We are strong. And we're hurting right now. Absolutely hurting. And we're strong and we're gifted and we're talented and we're doing in the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is my favorite story. I've been telling it all week. 3 months ago when I was considering coming here, someone looked at me and said, you know, they think they're a special church. They think they're special. But they're not. But they're not. They're just like the rest of us. Yeah, we are just like everybody else. But that was 3 months ago. I didn't know you from Martha. I thought that was cute when I wrote it, yeah. But I would challenge that person today. This is a special place. We are special people. But we're busy. We're busy, busy, busy. We're defined by the way preachers have defined Martha for ages. We're doers. We're busiers. When I declare a season of Jubilee, I say it is time to enter a season of slowdown. I'm even including myself, Reverend Energizer Bunny. We need to slow down just as Martha did. Stop and listen as Mary and Martha did. To sit at the Lord's feet and not with a plan. As I said, I'm great for working a plan. Give me a plan and I'm as happy as can be because I can work a plan. And you might even say that, oh, Jubilee's just another dressed up way of doing a plan. But it is a time to stop. It is a time to slow down. I'm asking for a mindset to listen to the Lord before we jump into finding another pastor, before we jump into yet another ministry, before we jump into yet another outreach. Let's slow down and listen, just like Mary and Martha. When times get tough, when we are grieving, when times are hard, when the expected miracle for ourselves or for our church doesn't seem to happen at our timetable, we can trust the Lord. We've been in the Lord. We've been steeped in the Lord. We know who God is, and we can trust that Jesus weeps with us when we hurt, when we grieve, when we are sad. We can trust that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that we will celebrate on the last day. And that's what we do when we come together and worship. We are celebrating just as they do in the heavenly kingdom. We celebrate, we sing unto the Lord, we live life in its fullest in worship. Absolutely, that's what we do every Sunday, even when we are kvetching about the length of the sermon, even when there's a ball game. Even when we're kvetching about music or the type of prayer or whatever, we are living in and celebrating around the throne of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. We're celebrating just as they do in heaven, the joyful feast of the people of God. Jesus says, wait a minute. I'm with you right here and now. At the same time, I'm here and now. I am the resurrection and the life right here and now. Slow down enough to hear. And then be like Martha. And we can say, yes, Lord, I know that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And we can live into it again. Continue to live into it because everything will be okay. Everything is okay. We are Mary and Martha as we sit at the Lord's feet and hear. Then we go into action. The end of the story isn't the raising of Lazarus, Jesus' miracle. Jesus will perform a miracle for us, and that is not the end of the story. As wonderful as it is, new life. Life goes on. Church goes on. Ministry goes on. Because we sit down and listen, we know that God has a plan for us. That's why I'm saying we are in a jubilee for now. We're going to sit at the Lord's feet and listen. Get over our busyness. Get over our busyness. We are going to seek the Lord where he is heading.
Officially, it will be in our mission study.
Wow. More importantly, unofficially, we are going to steep and steep and steep in the Lord. Not idleness, but stillness. So like Mary and Martha in chapter 12 of John, we can see our mission and do it. Our ministry and do it. Ministry. Now, did you catch that? Ministry did not look a whole lot different for Martha in chapter 12 of John as it did in Luke, did it? She's still doing her thing. She's doing, using the gifts that God gave her. At the same time, Mary still isn't cooking. Mary still isn't greeting or doing the hospitality thing. Mary was living out her calling, and it was okay with Martha. Because the sisters have different missions, different callings. They are able to recognize their different gifts and they slow down and sat in the Lord and listened. While as Martha's ministry wasn't new at all. It was just doing her thing. Mary's ministry is something new, completely different and unexpected. And in her ministry, she filled the world with the sweet aroma of Jesus Christ. I propose, I declare, jubilee. Forgiveness, sitting down and listening to the Lord. That's where we are right now, folks. We are going to find our calling. We are going to listen and we will hear. We will use the word love way too much. We will get rid of words like dislike and discord and kvetch. And in the end, we will once again make that great faith statement with Martha. We know that you are the Son of God, the Messiah, and you're here with us. And we're going to go on being ourselves, doing our thing. And in the end, we'll be like Mary. We'll find whatever the Lord has in mind for us. And we will fill our part of the world with the sweet aroma of Jesus Christ. So we're going to take the first step now and go to the table. Slow down, celebrate the joyful feast of the people of God.